Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Hello and welcome to the show that really doesn't know what it's going to do if it's Tuesday mornings now. But today, in the first of two shows this week, we look back at the final weekend of the season, and tomorrow you'll be able to hear us looking forward to the playoffs. So it's time to celebrate with Bolton and Cardiff, to commiserate with Barnsley and Burton, to high-five Rochdale, to put an arm around Oldham, and to give Barnet fans a little bit of space and time to process this. It's all on the Totally Football League show, in association with William Hill. Hello, Caroline Barker.
Don't come to me first because my team lost in the playoffs and I don't want to talk about it. And clearly there's some drunken bums to my right who do.
Don't ask me about my team, you said. Bang! Right from the off. Bad weekend for Chelmsford. Matthew Stanger. Doesn't really matter about Blackburn now. They're already up. But you were at Rochdale, weren't you?
I was at Rochdale. Amazing scenes there to see them stay up. I was also at Preston and got to see the other end of the spectrum with Burton's despair at going down and... great weekend all round.
Lovely stuff. Joe Crilly, Bolton Wanderers fan Joe Crilly, has just walked in. He looks like he slept with a coat hanger in his mouth. Never seen a grin like it. How are you, Joe?
Recovering.
Has it been emotional?
It has indeed. It couldn't have been any more topsy-turvy, could it, if we'd have scripted it. But yes, Sunday was... It was mad from about 12:30 till 2:30, and then it was even madder until about 10 minutes ago.
We're going to get more details on that later. First of all, though, let's start at the top of the championship. Cardiff. They only won 3 of their last 8 games. They stumbled over the line, but frankly, Caroline, who cares? They did it.
We could get better odds on Sunderland getting promoted before the season started than on Cardiff. And listening to Neil Warnock talking about whether he thought maybe his side didn't have enough. I mean, he didn't give that. The day he walked into the club, he said, yeah, we'll get promoted, we'll go up. But yesterday he was then saying, well, I know, this point that I'm in, the tears flow, the celebration, the record 8th. He is, I think we described it as a wonder of the world in terms of managers. And he is that Neil Warnock. And you can see how he's galvanised this parts list he had, brought them all together and got them promotion. Brilliant. And see Vincent Tan carried by the fans. Who'd have thought?
How quickly things change. Matt, we know how this all works. When you look at the teams in the playoffs, Derby, Middlesbrough, Aston Villa and Fulham, whichever one goes up, it doesn't matter. Cardiff are going to be favourites to go straight back down next season, aren't they?
You'd think so. And Warnock said already that he needs 5 or 6 new players for next season, which, as you said, Ian, isn't a great show of confidence in his squad. But he says plenty of them, he thinks, will do a job for him in the Premier League, but it does look like they need to invest, especially up front, because Guy Medine came in January, hasn't scored for only £6 million move from Bolton. Kenneth Zahor, there's a lot more to his game than just finishing, but he's only got 9 goals, and you need someone to be a little bit more prolific than that.
Caroline, I think they'll stay up, because they're organised, they're strong, they don't kind of slack off. I think they'll be fine. But do you think Neil Warnock will be there with them?
I think he's bitten the bug again, hasn't he? There was all that talk. I don't know how much truth there was in that about whether he'd just get them up and then walk away. But the way he was talking yesterday, that was definitely a come and get me, Mr. Chairman, with your money and give me some money to put into players too. The wheeling and dealing he's done yet again, though. Some of the free transfers that he brought in when he first came into the club, some of those signings that he's made that maybe were a bit left field, he can do that and he'll relish that challenge. And I think as long as he's got a challenge in front of him, which clearly he has at Cardiff, but a challenge that he feels he can cope with and deal with, then I think he'll stay.
Matt, most of these teams that go up, there's a kind of like standout player, the reason that they've gone up. But it's not so much with Cardiff, is it? It's more of a team thing.
Definitely, real collective effort. You look at the back, Sol Bamba and Sean Morrison have been heroic all season. 11 goals between them as well, so they've shared the goals throughout the team. Morrison getting that brace against Hull when they really needed to win after Fulham beat Sunderland in the penultimate week. Junior Hoylett's been fantastic as well. I obviously watched him come through at Blackburn. He was brilliant there and he looked every bit a Premier League player, really. And then obviously lost his way a little bit at QPR, but he's been tremendous for Cardiff this season. So it really has been a team effort. And I think for Warnock, he will now just look to tweak, like you say, and just add a few extra players.
Caroline, you were on the Football League show for the Championship eventually. Fulham picked a hell of a time to lose their first game of the year, didn't they? What happened?
You're actually still watching it today, aren't you? Fulham, if they play that badly as they did at the weekend, then I think they will struggle in the playoffs. I just don't know. The Fulham side that was there, and chatting to a few of my Fulham supporting friends, I have a few, very posh, they were saying they don't hold out much hope. But I said, this is exactly what you say to me every season. And he got you into the playoffs when perhaps you thought you wouldn't. And it's the fact that they've gone... Do you want to say the M word? Or shall I not say it?
No, we'll save the M word for tomorrow's show.
All right, we're not talking about the M word.
I'll tell you what, we'll talk more about Fulham tomorrow, but let's talk about Birmingham today, because they looked in serious, serious trouble when Gary Monk came in, and they've ended up 5 points clear, Matt. He's done a good job, hasn't he?
He has done a really good job, but it was a bit of a surprising result against QPR when he lost 3-1, because I watched a game the previous week when he beat Sheffield United 2-1, came from behind in that match, and St Andrews was rocking as it was against Fulham. And Birmingham were brilliant, and you'd think on that form they definitely would test Fulham, and then he slipped up against QPR but came roaring back against Fulham on the final day. And I think Harley Dean was a big lift for them. It was his first appearance since he was sent off at Wolves, and he was a rock at the back and obviously got the goal just before half time to make it 2-0, and that really put it beyond Fulham.
Of course, another team beginning with B stayed up. Joe Crilly, this is your time. That must have been a little bit tense, a bit of a seesaw.
It was. My girlfriend had to tell me to stop swearing because we had the back door open and there were children playing outside. Yeah, but...
3 minutes to go, you're 2-1 down, you're going down. I mean, did your faith flicker?
It did. It flickered to start off with when I saw the team sheet and saw that Aaron Wilbraham was starting ahead of Adam Lafondre. I certainly thought that if anybody was going to get the goals that kept Bolton in the division, or certainly gave us a hope, it would have been Lafondre. And of course, he came off the bench and scored the first. And Wilbraham, having scored one goal all season, which was a very vital goal indeed, it was a last-minute equaliser against Sheffield Wednesday a few weeks ago. So he won a point there. And he obviously got the vital goal at 3-2. So, I mean, I was obviously reliant on results from all over the place, but nobody ramps up the tension like Jeff Stelling. So he made it even more worse than it was watching. I was on the phone to my dad 5 or 6 times in the last 20 minutes.
And what's the feeling among Bolton fans now? Because it was getting a bit poisonous towards the end. It looked like Phil Parkinson, regardless of what happened, wasn't going to get his way back into the supporters' affections. Has this changed anything?
Well, I've always been part of the core of supporters who've maybe thought he's had his hands tied. He started the season with 23 squad players because that's all we were allowed because of Football League guidelines, because of the restrictions that have been placed on the club. And I was always of the thought that if Bolton went down, he deserved at least another stab at League One. A few people, I'd say it was a 50-50 split. I think it probably still is a 50-50 split. I think what he needs to work on is perhaps a plan B. When Medin left, the only option then was to put Wilbraham up front, because all we had been playing was long ball football, hitting Gary Medin and hoping that he would flick it onto somebody else. And Wilbraham, the best will in the world, is 38, 39 in the summer. He's not going to be a long-term fix. So we need a plan B, some way that we can perhaps bring somebody like Adam Lafondre into the game more as a poacher rather than somebody who has to create a chance for himself and then score it. So if he develops a plan B, and we'll probably see with the signings, because we've got 20 players out of contract over the summer, we'll probably see with the players that he keeps on and the signings that he brings in what his plan will be for next season. But I certainly think he deserves another chance, yeah.
Matt, for every winner, there has to be a loser. Bolton stay up, Burton, dear, dear Burton, go down.
I think it was the Preston fans that killed Burton, actually, because I was at Deepdale on Sunday, and as soon as the news came through of those two goals for Bolton and that they turned it around against Nottingham Forest, the Preston fans were cheering, they were celebrating almost as if they got into the playoffs, and they were chanting, "You're going down," to the Burton fans, and the players on the pitch just panicked. They completely lost their shape. They were still at 1-1 and they had 5 minutes left to push for the winning goal that would have secured their survival. And Nigel Clough said afterwards, "We lost our cool, we lost our shape, and it's frustrating because, you know, had we kept our shape, we might have been able to still sneak it." And yeah, sadly for Burton, 10 men Preston on the break managed to get that goal that sent them down.
It didn't send them into the playoffs, though. But regardless of that, with the injuries they've had, seventh place, a good season for Preston?
I think it's a brilliant season. And I think the fact that they were just so relentlessly professional against Burton on the final day when it was clear what was going on at Derby and they were never going to get that playoff spot, I think that really bodes well for next season under Alex Neil. I think he's done an excellent job. They lost Jordan Hugel in January, which was a massive blow. They played almost without a striker second half of the season. They definitely played without a striker for a good portion of Sunday's game because they lost Billy Bowden for two ridiculous bookings on his part. Lewis Malt came on, got a goal, hasn't really been firing since he joined from Motherwell, but I think there's a lot to be encouraged about with Preston.
I love the fact you said two ridiculous bookings on his part, because I was glad the referee booked him for the dive-in for the second. Because it takes a strong referee to say that, knowing that that one's going to be the one that sees him sent off as well. Burton, you're right, though, and Nigel Clough, with those comments at the end, so much calmness they've showed in those important last stretch of games, at least to get them to that point where they still had it on the final day of the season. And it just went everywhere, because they had the possession, they were getting the chances, had they just kept going. I thought the real turning point was when that goal was disallowed for a handball, clear handball. And I thought, right, that's it. This is Burton's now. They will go on and win it.
It was almost like one of those situations where the further away you were from survival on the final day,
yeah,
the better your chance of staying up, because Bolton needed everything. They needed that M-word, that momentum going into those last 10 minutes to get the two
early
goals.
For the M-word.
Whereas Burton, because they were within touching distance, they just collapsed when it was suddenly snatched away from them.
Well, I'll tell you who else collapsed. Barnsley and Jose Moraes sacked almost immediately afterwards. So you've got a board of directors there who've come in, bought the club. Paul Heckingbottom's left. They've had to make this appointment to try and keep him up. It really hasn't failed. Caroline, do you think there's a case of buyer's remorse over at Barnsley?
Well, to have the clause in there already so that they knew almost the minute they get relegated that he'll be gone and on his way, which was helpful for us trying to put a show together, because that happens straight away. Normally that happens at 10 o'clock at night. You think, no, particularly when you're on late. I just hope they're right in their statement afterwards when they said we need to be proactive on and off the pitch during the summer, because they've just not been. And yeah, Moraes clearly didn't work. I mean, who here put their hand up and said it would work?
It's producer Teo I feel for, because Rui Faria, another Jose Mourinho assistant, linked with the Arsenal job, and perhaps Moraes shows that that's not the way to go.
Right, we don't have enough time to talk about everyone, dear listener, so I hope you'll forgive us if we do miss out a few teams. But a few that I just very quickly wanted to mention. Bristol City and Sheffield United met. They a hugely entertaining game. Sheffield United 3-2 winners, but two teams who were, you know, pushing for promotion earlier in the season, Matt, and they finish 10th and 11th. Disappointing seasons, or well done for being that high in the first place?
It's all context, isn't it? I think we'll look back on this season and think that they've both done incredibly well to finish where they have, considering that Sheffield United were promoted last year, Bristol City only survived relegation late on. Given the fact that they were both up there for the majority of the season in the playoff spots, they'll look at it and they'll be frustrated that they didn't get over the line. It was a great game, actually, at the weekend, considering they've both been running on fumes for the last few weeks. And the big thing for Sheffield United is, do they hold on to Chris Wilder? Because he's apparently frustrated at the power struggle in the boardroom, linked with Sunderland. That's the big question.
Well, let's hope they do, because they've been great fun to watch this season. On the other side of the Steel City, and there's a lot of recency bias in this, but Sheffield Wednesday beat Norwich 5-1. Extraordinary run of form. They seem to have clicked at entirely the wrong time. But do you think that's enough to, you know, build confidence? Could they be contenders next season?
Two real disappointments for me, Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds this season, both of whom I thought would do better. So having gone into the season thinking that they would do better, particularly Sheffield Wednesday, who knows what will happen this time next season? But clearly they have within them, you would think, the ability to do better.
Yep. Congratulations to Sunderland. Finally gave their supporters something to cheer about, battering the champions 3-0, and even Ashley Fletcher scored. The extraordinary... weird performance.
I've got my hand up because I said it at the weekend about Barley coming on. Do you see the 16-year-old kid that came on for the last few minutes and John O'Shea handed him the captain's armband and let him captain the side for the last few minutes for Sunderland? If they're going to do well now, they've got to do well with this brilliant talent they've got coming through the youth ranks. And there's a team that you would hope, if they can sort it out off the pitch, will come straight back up.
I think we should just say one word for Will Norris as well, the Wolves goalkeeper, making his first championship appearance, two errors and subbed with 20 minutes to go. Yeah. Not the best performance.
Good luck. A word too for Paddy McNair and his mazy run. Hotshot goalscorer Paddy McNair. I did not expect to see that. The one final note, QPR have released a number of players, including Jamie Mackie, James Perch, Jay Manuel Thomas and Nader Manua. Matt, that must be the better part of $150,000 a week off the wage bill.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll be reinvested in the squad with Ian Holloway able to bring in a few players. But the biggest thing for QPR has been Holloway placing his faith in the young players over the last few months. And I think that's great to see a side that's sort of marooned in mid-table a little bit, looking to do things a little bit differently, promote players from their academy. And we've talked about the work that Chris Ramsey and Les Ferdinand have done there before, and now QPR bearing the fruit of that.
All right, Joe Crilly from William Hill. We're already looking ahead to next season here on the Totally Football League Show. And next season we'll be joined by Stoke City. What odds an immediate return for them?
As you can imagine, they are amongst the favourites for next season. They're 3-1 to go straight back up, 16-1 to do a Sunderland.
Wigan and Blackburn will be joining us in the Championship as well. Matt's very happy about that. What does it look like for them?
Still quite short prices to go up, actually. Wigan 6-1, Blackburn 7-1. That's for promotion to the Premier League. 4-1 Wigan to go back down to League One. Blackburn 7-2.
And go on then, Bolton. What price for them to go down next season?
Oh, God. Yeah, we've not even priced up Bolton going up. 6-4 to go down, 1-2 to stay up.
Lovely stuff. When we come back, the Fan League.
You're listening to the Totally Football League Show in association with William Hill. For all the latest odds in the footballing world, check out williamhill.com or download the app. And if you don't spot something you fancy, why not tweet at William Hill using the hashtag YourOdds for your very own personalised bet. 18 plus only, begambleaware.org, and when the fun stops, stop.
Hey, Fan League, everyone. And this will be a little shorter this time because we are obviously out of Football League matches. But there is still one opportunity left to play. They've topped up the slip. It's all the Premier League games and some La Liga matches. So get the app. It's Fan League. It's on the App Store. And you get a slip and you just pick home win, away win or a draw. On the Totally Football League, Lawrence White continues to lead the way. Oh, he's actually in second, but by someone who's barely played any games. So he's really the moral leader. And I am very much 52nd and the loser in every sense of the word. And we'd also like to thank Fan League for their support this season. Thank you, guys. Right, League One. Matt, you're at Rochdale. God, a lot of things happened there.
A lot of things happened. It was for 80 minutes or so an excruciating afternoon in the sunshine. I'm not a Rochdale fan, obviously. I have no affiliation with the club. I can't imagine how their supporters were feeling, knowing the way the game was going at Northampton Oldham and that they needed a win for a decent period of that match. And then Joe Thompson came on, the story of the day in the Football League, a man who's fought back from cancer twice, came out on that Wembley pitch in the Spurs FA Cup replay and probably thought that was the high of his season, maybe the high of his career, and then he goes and scores the goal to keep Rochdale in the division. And he was the coolest head in Spotland on Saturday with that finish, because Rochdale really didn't look like scoring before he came on, and the way he just shifted his body in the penalty area, drove the ball low into the bottom corner, and the place just erupted.
And there's two things to note here. I mean, one, they're playing Cheltenham Athletic, who've still got stuff to play for. All right, it was quite likely they were going up, but it wasn't definite by any stretch. And two, February 28th, they were thumped by Spurs 6-1 at Wembley. I think they were bottom of the table then, weren't they? Or at least second from bottom at the very best. A few games in hand. But it's a long, long way back. They've only been beaten three times since then. I mean, Keith Hill has kept his head and done a hell of a job there.
He's done a remarkable job yet again with Rochdale. They continue to punch above the weight, really, considering their budget relative to other teams in that division. But I think the best thing about Keith Hill, really, the thing that deserves most credit is that he really sticks to his certain style of football. They like to use the ball, Rochdale. They go direct at times up to Calvin Andrew, who I have to say was brilliant on Saturday as well, doing everything for his team, running the ball into the corner in the final 5-10 minutes as well. But they play three at the back, they have the wing backs high and wide, and they look to attack and they look to take the initiative against teams. And that's what they did against Charlton, even though they were a bit nervy in defence at times and looked like getting caught on the break.
So they're winning 1-0 and then full time. But it's not the end of the story, is it? Because they're still waiting on news from Northampton against Oldham, which is 2-2 and has been 2-2 for some time. And the Rochdale fans have to wait for 9 minutes.
That was painful. It really was. It was a sweaty 9 minutes. And I was watching an old-timer Rochdale fan walking up and down, pacing along the touchline, just head in hand, just waiting to hear that news from Northampton. He actually, on the back of his shirt, he had "Up the Dale, down the Ale," which I thought was a brilliant bit of printing. And clearly it was down with the ale at the end.
So I always wonder at these junctures, Who takes control? Is there one person with a transistor radio? Is there someone on Twitter? Is there one like designated communicator, or is it just mass panic?
It's mass panic, but I am pleased to report that I did see a guy with a radio pinned to his ear.
Nice.
And it wasn't just thumbs pinned to mobile phone screens on this occasion. So, but everyone was just glued to whatever device they had in their hands to be able to find out the score at Northampton. And then when it came through, the pitch invasion was brilliant.
Seeing the players in the tunnel, they were watching the TV screens. They had the radios on too. But Joe Thompson was probably the coolest because he said that his mates who played for Oldham were on the bench. The minute they heard that Joe had scored, they were like, right, it's written in the stars. There's no way we're coming back from this, so we're down, so we might as well give up now. So they'd already thought, that's it, we're done.
That is firm belief in football narrative there.
Well, there's some beautiful interviews with him over the past 24 hours, one of which just says the minute he scores the goal, the silence. Clearly, everything was going off everywhere, and he just said for that moment, everything stopped, and he took it in. And just to have that moment of emotion, everything running through him. We all do the cliche, don't we, what went through your mind? But he said it did all go through his mind at that moment. He thought, I've just done it.
I got goosebumps then. That was lovely. What wasn't lovely, though, was the day for Oldham fans. 2-2 draw against Northampton, not enough. We've watched quite a lot of them. You've spoken to Richie Wellens, who took over after the first few weeks, Matt. What happened?
I've come on with stats.
Right.
So I'm going to defend Richie Wellens' record because I don't think he should take the majority of the responsibility for Oldham going down, ending their 21-year stay in League One. So if anything, this jolt might actually be a good thing for the club because that is a long time to stay in the purgatory of League One there. But Richie Wellens.
Can I just take issue with that? Yep. The amount of times I've heard that over the past 24 hours too. It's just because, you know, I like to have an argument with you. This could be a good thing for the club going down. Never!
Listener, she
down.
Has thumped the
You never
the
want
furniture.
To go down, but you are right. Sometimes clubs do come back better as a result of it, but never do you want to go down.
No, you never want to go down, but I do think that the shock of being relegated after 21 years in the same division might have some sort of positive effect in the long term, like we say, especially considering that they've got a new owner as well who's looking to bring in players from all around Europe and everything. But Richie Wellens' record. So, Oldham lost 7 of the first 9 matches. They might have no wins in the last 8 games, which is a dreadful way to end the season, obviously culminating in relegation. But under the 37 games that he's been in charge in League One, they've had 10 wins, 11 defeats, 16 draws. Extrapolate that over the course of a full season and it's 57 points that would put them in 14th. For a guy to come into a situation where it was already crisis mode in his first ever job as a manager, yeah. I think he's handled himself brilliantly and I think Oldham should stick with him next season.
Here's what he said after the game. I thank the players in the dressing room because the majority of them gave absolutely everything in training. There are some players that let the group down and all in all, it's probably cost us. The players who are successful at this level have character and they show heart and desire. And that's what the fans want. But it's just a shame that some don't do that. Who's he talking about?
Naming no names.
Yeah.
It's a difficult situation for him to play because obviously Abdallah Lemsigham, being a football agent, has so many connections throughout the game. And Richie Wellens really, if he wants to stay in that job, doesn't want to point any fingers at the owner's players because if they're the ones that perhaps haven't performed for him, he needs to be quite diplomatic about that situation. It will be interesting to see what happens there in the summer.
All right. It will also be interesting to see what happens at Plymouth, Caroline. Who I don't know if anyone has mentioned this, but they were bottom at Christmas and then very, very nearly made the playoffs.
I've heard that mentioned a lot in the last 24 hours. I'm kidding.
Absolutely gubbed by Gillingham on the final day. Not that it would have made much difference without the gubbing being very much reversed with emphasis. And they seem to sort of run out of steam, depleted by injuries. First of all, hell of an achievement. But secondly, what next?
Oh, it's a long season, right? We were talking about Rochdale, some 60 games. Keith Hill says he makes his plan 16 games ago to try and sort things out. When you're in that situation, you have to try and plan with the resources that you've got, and then you get those injuries that affect you. What can you do? What can you do? I think, right manager there, come next season, they'll be okay. And they'll just stick by him as they have done. And I think they'll be all right. And they'll go again and will press next time because they've got a bit of heart. They've got something about you. And I know that sounds daft, and clearly that's why I'm not a football manager. But I'm just trying to give you a chance to get your own back on me, Matt, which is not happening.
Well, Matt, actually, I wanted to ask you about Portsmouth, another big club, just outside of the playoffs this time. And the board seem to be quite firm in their belief that Kenny Jackett's the man, and that all dissent will be ignored here.
Well, that's right. They awarded him a new contract halfway through the season, and he's really got the goals out of Brett Pittman this season. And Portsmouth were pretty close, really, to the playoffs for a decent period of time, considering they only came up last year. And Kenny Jackett took over from Paul Cook, a man who obviously masterminded that promotion from League Two. And it's not always easy to be the guy who follows someone who's had so much success at the club. And I think Jackett's done really well in his first year there, even though, like you say, there are some sections of support that perhaps aren't his hugest fans.
OK, just one more team I wanted to look at. And again, apologies if we're not covering your club. If it's any consolation, we're not covering my club either. We have a lot of ground to cover. Bradford. Bradford opened 2018 with a 2-1 win at Fleetwood. They were fifth. They were 8 points safe in the playoffs. Since then, they've won 3 league games and they've ended the season 11th. What?
They've been dreadful pretty much every time I've seen them in the second half of the season. I really don't think the owners have to worry about those £1 season tickets in the Premier League anytime soon that they've promised. And there's already talk of Simon Grayson actually heading to Scunthorpe at the end of the campaign.
Really?
So he could be taken over from Nick Dawes there after the playoffs. And he was talking about his future at the weekend, saying that the club just need clarity, they need to know what's going on and need to be able to move forward. And the sort of the message that was coming from Grayson, it didn't sound like he was too committed.
Caroline, do you think they regret sacking Stuart McCall?
Yes, but I think maybe they should do a job swap with Nick Dawes because I've been impressed with what he's been doing, so send him over. Have him at Bradford, they'd have him, wouldn't they?
Totally Football League Show, solving your problems this week. Joe Crilly from William Hill, League One next season, Sunderland are coming. You'd expect them to go straight back up if you'd not watched them at all for the last 12 months, last 3 years, last 5 years.
10 years, they're 5-2 to win the league. Even money to get promotion,
really?
And 25-1 to do a Sunderland.
Go straight down again.
Yeah,
25-1. Oh, weigh that up. Accrington or Luton? We know which team Nathan Jones thinks is best, but which team's got the best chance of staying up?
Luton. So Accrington are 3-1 to go straight back down. Luton actually are just 3-1 to get promotion into the Championship. They are 7-1 for relegation, and both sides are 33-1 Accrington, 12-1 Luton to win the league.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, Joe Crilly of William Hill. When we come back, League Two. Listeners, when it comes to shaving, you value precision. And so do Harry's. They value precision so much that their blades are German engineered. They value precision so much that their razor handle is non-slip with textured grip. And that's why I've just changed all my shaving products to Harry's. And you can too by heading to harrys.com/league. Harry's Cucumber and Aloe Shave Gel lathers into a luxurious foam, allowing those aforementioned German-engineered blades to glide across your face. And their post-shave balm will leave you extra cool and fresher than ever. Because you listen to the Totally Football League Show, you can get a special Harry's trial set delivered right to your door for just £3.95. What's in that trial set? Well, the handle, in your choice of blue, orange or green, a 5-blade cartridge, the foaming shave gel and a travel blade cover. Find out more at harrys.com/league. That's harrys.com/league. League Two, then. Oh, Barnet. We spoke to Martin Allen. He had high hopes. He was right to have high hopes. They couldn't have done anything more, Caroline. They walloped Chesterfield 3-0, but it wasn't enough.
not in quick enough, was he? Didn't pick up that phone when he saw it ringing on the Sunday night when he was sat at home on the sofa. What are you going to do with Martin Allen? He gives you what he's going to give you. He did it. He achieved. He said what he would do. But if you've got Coventry Morecambe the other side of it, then there's not a lot you can do. I know there's been some criticism perhaps over the style of play for at least the final 20 minutes in that Coventry Morecambe game, but I had this argument with Clinton Morrison on Saturday, and that's not me dropping a name, it's just someone I had another argument with, Matt, and he was talking about, well, you know, if you're out there you want to go on and win the game, because the danger is of course that anything could happen. So those that haven't seen the Coventry Morecambe game, essentially, they both needed a point. A point is what they got. The last 20 minutes, people were standing off. There was no real pressing, and there weren't really the opportunities. But there were two good saves. Barry Roach, one brilliant save in the first half at least. So there were opportunities in the game as a full 90 minutes. But if you're in that situation, Clinton's argument is that anyone could go up one end and score, and then what do you do? How do you change it? But both managers had spoken about how they would have changed it and made substitutions and made things happen. But if you're in that and you need a point, then you're not going to want to press because you don't want to give away a goal, and vice versa. So I understand the situation, but Barnet fans could do absolutely nothing about it.
Matt, call me cynical, but I've got a feeling that Martin Allen probably won't be there next season. And, you know, he's in a position now where he's just very nearly achieved the impossible. And he looks pretty good right now to any potential suitors.
Absolutely, and probably deserves another job in the Football League after what he's done again at Barnet, almost keeping him up. And he appeared non-committal about his future after the game. There was that great response where someone asked him, should he have been brought in sooner? And he talked about how he's quite busy at that stage when Graham Wesley took over. He had a lot of gardening to do. Apparently his gardening's looking fantastic now, though. But you would look, you'd think that the likes of, say, MK Dons coming down from League One would maybe take a look at him. And obviously he's been manager of Barnet five times, but three of those occasions were for fewer than 10 matches. So he hasn't stuck around in the past. And even though Barnet had the infrastructure to come straight back like they did in 2015, I'm not sure that he'll stay.
Well, good luck to Barnet and good luck to Chesterfield as well, both of whom went down. If you're wondering, by the way, dear listener, why we're not talking about teams in the playoffs, it's because we've got another show tomorrow for you, which is exclusively on the playoffs. So we're just passing through all the other areas. Those other areas include Crewe Alexandra, who improved markedly as soon as I'd said they're absolutely going down, Matt.
That was just what they needed to hear, wasn't it? I think they pinned this podcast to the dressing room wall, picture your face on the dartboard, Ian. But they ended the season really strongly, and it was great to see at the weekend, actually, they played that All-Academy 11 against Cheltenham. I think it's the second time they've done that. They did it in 2013, I believe, as well. And to see them win 2-1 with a group of players that they've produced is just a brilliant thing for the club going forward.
Caroline, congratulations also due to Forest Green for surviving their first season in the Football League. It wasn't always easy, but they're still here.
As is my wont, I'm going to just briefly talk about Crewe again.
God damn it.
Just say how funny that everyone assumed they'd be about 17 or 18 because they've all come through the academy, but clearly not seeing the legacy that Crewe have had over many years. Forest Green, JJ Hooper and co. I always thought they had enough in them to do all right, Forest Green, and pretty much like the National League when they were in it, they have time to work things out. So clearly the money's there, the support's there from the owner, but it's just trying to get the right manager in to work things out. And I think that'll happen. And I can see Forest Green going on and doing well. We had some very interesting stats that confused a load of people at the weekend about how long it takes for teams to stay up, who go straight through the leagues and up and through. If you get out the National League, then the chances are you'll make it into League One and you'll continue to progress, such as the money that comes through with those teams too. So I think Forest Green will be fancied.
Yeah, Matt, I was quite surprised that they didn't kick on further after the January spending.
I think it's difficult, isn't it, in your first year in the Football League, and they relied heavily on Christian Deutsch for goals, brought Ruben Reid in, obviously, he sort of continued the stuttering form that he'd shown at Exeter early in the campaign, so I do think that Mark Cooper will take them on next year, though. I think they've had some really strong performances this year, but what also a great end to the campaign for Grimsby, who we wrote off a few weeks ago, and boy, did they look doomed.
It's almost as if you can see my script. 13 points from a possible 15 for Michael Jolly. Once again, we should acknowledge the fact that we were openly laughing at how bad Grimsby were just before they went on that run.
What I liked about the win the other day was that we've been talking about how Grimsby just seemed to get about 35 yards from goal and then just welly it into the stand on every attack. But JJ Hooper just moved a little bit closer to the goal. Some brilliant finishes. Tremendous hat trick.
I like the way that they all ran in the same direction to close down the same player, leaving acres and acres of space. But they seem to have stopped doing that now, so they're not nearly as entertaining. No, well done to Grimsby. I think it was 20 matches without a win. That is a horrific run, and they managed to turn it around right at the end. Well done too to Newport, very nearly went down last year and never really in danger this year. Actually seemed more likely of going up in the playoffs. A fantastic debut full season for manager Michael Flynn. And well done to Crawley as well, who embarked on something of a football revolution under Harry Kewell, which got off to a terrible start. And well done to everyone at the club, because they could have panicked. They didn't, and they rallied to finish mid-table.
If only they'd listened to people actually talking on podcasts and
I
such.
Know.
So what are they doing with Harry Kewell, TM? No, he's proved us all wrong, hasn't he? But again, you just need one bit of quality with your team, particularly at that level you talked about JJ, I mentioned him too. You just need that bit of quality that will guide you through. And why wouldn't you want to play under Harry Kewell? I guess it's at what level he can take that up and through to. If you're a striker, if you're a forward that wants to learn your trade a bit, then you'd want to go and play for him.
Well, I'll tell you, we're going to go to Joe Crilly at William Hill, because I kind of fancy Crawley to make a push for promotion next season. Yeah. What are those numbers, huh?
Well, it's not as big a price as the saner ones of us around the table would have thought, but 5-1 for Crawley to get promoted.
Oh. All right, I'm a little disappointed about that. Mansfield, the appointment of David Flitcroft, I'm not sure it really worked as well as they would have liked after Steve Evans went off to Peterborough. They didn't make the playoffs, and they did invest heavily as well. But next season, their season, isn't it?
Yeah, you can imagine that Flitcroft will be given a bit of cash to spend at Mansfield, and they're amongst the favourites to go up 7-2 for promotion.
And Macclesfield are coming to play with us. Welcome Macclesfield fans doing any advanced homework. What do their numbers look like for next season?
They are 7-1 for promotion and 11-4 to go back down, so much shorter price to go down. But often you see the teams, and Caroline was just talking about it there, often you see the teams coming up from the conference tend to do quite well. There isn't much difference, I wouldn't have thought, between the lower half of League Two and perhaps the top third of the conference. So I imagine Macclesfield will give it a jolly good show.
Lovely stuff. Right, we would go to listener questions now, but it's mainly just people like Aaron Cox and Jack saying, is Joe Thompson actually a superhero? For the record, yes, he is. It's Jack saying, just plenty of Joe Thompson love. I think we've done all of that. Jordan wanted to talk about Preston. I think we've done that. So we can move on, I think. Chuckles over there. Something you'd like to share with the rest of the class?
That was just the first time for everything that Mr. Crilly makes a joke, and we appreciated it, did we not? No.
Thank you, Caroline Barker. Thank you, Matt Stanger. Thank you, Joe Crilly, Social Paul, producer Tayo. And thanks to you, dear listener. And it is double bubble this week, so it is with great pleasure that I can say, see you this Wednesday. Well, that doesn't work at all.
The Totally Football League Show is a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, please email us at sales@muddyneesmedia.com. Listeners, before you leave us, a quick public service announcement. Our friends at Gimlet Media have released a new podcast called We Came to Win. It's a documentary series about the hidden stories behind the World Cup's most iconic moments, and the first episode tells the tale of England's epic run at Italia 90. It features a couple of voices you'll know very well, like Ian McIntosh and Matt Scott, and amazing football writers like Pete Davis. Here they are describing the bad old days, the pre-Premier League football stadia.
And if people needed to urinate, they'd go up to the back of the terraces, urinate against the back wall. So by about midway through the first half, you'd literally be standing in torrents of piss. It was vile.
It was awful.
So never wear your best shoes to football back in the 80s, because it wouldn't be good.
You can find We Came to Win wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.